from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. Indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this last day of June, 30th day of June, 2023. And tonight we have with us for the whole while none other than the guy with a smile on the board op, Kyle.
Hey, Pastor.
There you go. And way out in the heart of Texas, we have none other than that renowned man, the former law enforcement officer and the author and poet and Bible teacher, none other than Big John McTernan.
How did poets get in that, Pastor Ernie?
Well, I thought I'd do something new for you, you know?
Okay. So I appreciate all the superlatives there, and God bless you and all our listeners. Maybe we have a real good show tonight.
Yeah, maybe even get a poem or two, right? All right. Now, tonight we have our special guest. We have two special guests tonight. One of them is right here with me at the remote studio, and she is our chief researcher. She's the one that helps me find all of these articles and all the things that we talk about, and that is Ms. Heather Copper.
Good evening, brave listeners. You're in for one tonight.
All righty. Yeah, we are. And then way out, we have a fellow who was a entrepreneur. He ran the largest mortgage brokerage in the country. He ran racetracks with hundreds of racehorses. He was a very, very wealthy man. Now, he and John McTernan, I want to make this clear, did not start the fires in Canada, no matter what you think, right? But he started fires some other places, though, political fires, and his name is Mike Gill. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Pastor.
Good to have you here with us tonight. We're going to start out, say hi to John McTernan.
Hi, John.
Yeah, hello, brother. God bless.
Okay. We're going to have we got a lot to get into. We're going to get into the scripture. So, John, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5 tonight. And the title of the message was The Wicked and the Weak. The Wicked and the Weak. And here we're going to be taking a look at some of the weak, okay, in the church. Now, here in Hebrews 5, starting with verse 11, this is the third warning here in Hebrews that the author gives. The first warning was the warning of the danger of neglect, the danger of neglect. Second warning was the danger of hardening their hearts. And here, this is the third warning, the dullness of hearing. And this applies to professing believers. He says, of whom we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time you ought. Now, here's an interesting thing, because that word ought there in the Hebrew, or actually, it's the word meaning have a duty. It's the same word you would do to have a duty. You ought, you have a duty. To be teachers, you need that one teach you again, which be the principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have a need of milk and not of strong meat. John, is that a problem in the church today?
Oh, my, yes, Pastor Ernie. There is like a famine for the word. And part of it, well, a good part of it, Pastor Ernie, is the Bibles that are being used. About 10% of the pastors regularly use the King James. The rest are, you know, who knows what. And right then and there, that's a problem, Pastor Ernie.
Well, there's only 200 different perversions of the Bible out there being used today. But you're right. But the King James by far is still the most used and the most read. And it is...
Well, here's the thing. By the people themselves, but not the preachers on the pulpit. How's that?
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, I am. I know I am on that one, Pastor Ernie.
Well, you see, we're going to get to that. Boy, we're going to get to
and
that
isn't,
here.
Isn't the King James the only Bible that's officially a law accepted as a law book by the courts?
Yeah, it is the only book that's the authorized. And John, you know, over the years in the pro-life activity, you and I both, we've been arrested many, many times. I've been arrested many times for being out there at those abortion mills. Well, you've been with me. And if I'm the only one that gets arrested, then I can defend myself in my own venue. If I'm the only one that's arrested that day, and if nobody's arrested with the same charge, and I've had to go to court many times, my venue is the King James Bible. It's the only Bible that you can use because it's the only one that's an authorized book of law. It's the only that by a sovereign nation has authorized it to be a book of law. And so, therefore, about 15 minutes of this book right here, they just want me out of that courtroom. Okay, they just, you know, the Word of God does not return void. And now, on the other side, and you know, because you were in law enforcement for a long, many, many years, but if two of us are arrested for the same charge and I try to defend myself, they'll actually charge me with practicing law without a license. They will do that. But anyhow... For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Well, let's go back here. First of all, be the first principles of the oracles of God. The vast majority of people don't know what oracles. They don't know what the oracles are. And it's simply the doctrine. It's the doctrine of God. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, let me ask both of you fellows, do you see people that seem to never grow? They reach a certain level in the church in their Bible knowledge, but they never seem to really grow in the faith. It's like their growth is stymied. It's stunted. Do you see that? Is that common? I would probably...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you say it's more common than, say, the mega churches, the neo-evangelical churches?
Me, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
You want me to? I don't go to those churches, so it's hard to say. It's just people that I run into... it's alarming the lack of being able to discern, the lack of having knowledge in the Word, and it makes them ripe for deception, Pastor.
You're not kidding about that. Let's go over now to 1 Peter, and I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and start in verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 16. Let's take it verse at a time. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In the early days, of this ministry, and when we started out there in the Operation Rescues, and even before that, I got criticized. Of course, I got criticized by the fake news media, the mainstream media. But I got criticized by the neo-evangelical preachers. They would say that I don't set a good example. He goes out there. He's supposed to obey the government, and abortion's legal. He shouldn't be out there. I had all of this stuff there. They kept saying these things. Now, they would never say it to me. A couple of them that did would never do it again, okay, because they got God's word hot and heavy. And so what do you say to those people, John, that refer to activists like yourself and myself, that we should be obeying the law? What do you tell them?
Well, I am obeying the law, Pastor Ernie. I'm obeying the law of God. I mean, so God's word, it tells us to defend the weak. It tells us that the babies in the womb, our children, are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. It tells us to go in Psalms, in Proverbs, to save those from being shedding of innocent blood. So the problem is the state is criminal. Before God, with legalized abortion, the state is criminal. And we are doing what the state should be doing in attempting to save the baby.
All right, so for the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin in us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So now, in that house of God, judgment begins where? In the pulpit. In the pulpit. And there, what you said is true. No place, no place, no place has our Lord been more dishonored and betrayed than from the pulpits of what's supposed to be churches in this country today. And again, I remember hearing some of the older established pastors when I was a young guy involved in the pro-life movement saying, if you continue this, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. They were more afraid of the government than they were God, weren't they?
And that's why there's no power in the pulpits, Pastor Ernie.
All righty. Well, now here he goes.
When people talk like that, they're powerless. When preachers talk like that, they don't fear God, they fear man.
So, did God use a lot of people to change things, or did he do it? Did he turn the world upside down with 12 men?
Yeah, it was just a handful, really, and then there was there were the three that were close to him, and then the 12, then there was like 120, and then it got a little bigger, but I don't think there was more than about 200 maybe, Pastor Ernie, that were with him after the resurrection. There wasn't a great number.
So if one can chase 1,000, then two can chase what, 10,000?
Yes.
I mean, should we really be concerned? Because the people that we're up against, the enemy, the devil's crowd, these people don't know what a woman is. They don't know...
What
a marriage is. They don't understand. They don't realize that there's only two genders, okay? They don't realize that, and they've all gone woke, and many are going broke after they've gone woke, okay? And so, but here's the next verse, and this is the one that many, many people that fill the pews of the churches should really be concerned about. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Peter tells you to make your salvation sure, to make your salvation sure. There's a lot of people out there that really need to do that, who have a profession of faith, but you can't see any. You know, when the Bible says that faith without works is what?
Dead.
Meaning there's... So works there, we see, is the evidence of faith. And we see many people that have a profession of faith with no works at all, huh?
Well, Pastor Ernie, if I told you I was a professional baseball player, right?
Yeah.
And you asked me, what position you play? And I said, well, I don't really have a position. And what's your batting average? And I don't have an answer for all these. And then finally it comes to, well, I sit in the stands and I watch the games and I feel like I'm part of the team. That's mental. That's not reality. That's like mental assent to something.
Sounds like pastors today.
It seems the same thing in Christianity, Pastor Ernie. It's the same thing. If you're a baseball player, there are certain attributes connected to a baseball player.
And you don't understand. Today, see, you can be what you think you are. Like if you were to think you were a woman, you could be a woman today. If you feel like you're having a day, a woman's day, you can go and use a woman's bathroom because you're having a woman's day. Now, see, you can do that nowadays. So that's what's happening to these people up there. They're sitting in the stands, but they think they're on the field, right? We call these people Democrats. These are called Democrats, right?
I don't think it's limited to one party, Pastor.
Right.
You think there's plenty to go around. All right. So, but listen, I got to tell you, I don't believe that really works that way. You see, I don't believe just because you think you can be someone or you think you're a different gender, okay, because I've gone and I've been thinking that I'm 22 years old again, and it ain't working. It's just not. So I don't believe in that. What do you think, Mike?
Well, there's such thing as positive thinking, and I'm not relating it to thinking like a woman. But I remember being a young man and not having any money and being homeless, and I kept thinking, you know what? One day I'm going to be a successful business owner. I'm going to be a wealthy man, and I'm going to have children. And it was that thinking that made me keep on going. And eventually, one day, that happened. So I think you have to believe it to make it true. Now, that doesn't mean I'm thinking I'm a woman, and that makes that true. So it can be used positively, or it can be used destructively.
Well, here's the thing. The Bible tells you how that works very, very well. When you call upon the name of the Lord, anything you ask, okay, within the will of the Lord, if you believe in Him, you can receive it. But it's got to be and I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen time and time. That's happened in my life many, many times. So.
Well, it happened once in my life, and which is why I'm here now.
All right.
Fight
all right.
Corruption.
Well, we're gonna end right here, and we're gonna make an announcement this Sunday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church. We're gonna be showing the film at 3:30, Nefarious, but at 3 o'clock downstairs. All of these articles, people, you're always asking me, could you send me that article? Could you get me that article? They're going to open the archives. We're going to have thousands of articles, the things that you hear about, folks like the ones you get in our newsletter. And so they're going to be there this Sunday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. You can go through those. And then the film starts at 3:30, called Nefarious. And this is a very, very good. Are you guys aware of that film, Nefarious?
No, I'm not, Mister.
It's really applies to today, current events, and realistic. In a very realistic way, it shows you, like, the rise of Satanism that we have today. Why the wickedness has become so great, the wickedness out there. So it's an hour, 35-minute film?
Yeah, approximately.
And it's really a good one. So we're going to show that. And then, of course, the regular service is going to start at 5 p.m., okay? And then... Well, I'll just give the whole thing. The morning service starts at 8:30 with Bible study, in-depth Bible study, and then at 9:30 we have a second Bible study, and then 11 o'clock the regular service, and then again at 3 o'clock open tables, 3:30 Nefarious, 5 o'clock the evening service, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry Road. That's 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. And the phone number is 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367 if you're if you're lost and looking for directions, right?
Right.
And so there you go. Now with that, we're going to take a very quick early break, Kyle, and then we're going to come back. And boy, are we going to hear some stuff that's going on. We're going to hear about the Pandora Papers, okay, and a lot more. So take her away.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. Land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
I've got my eyes open. I've been for a long time. Yes, sir. Alrighty. Guess what? You know, the Ukraine is the money laundering capital of the world. I mean, there's nothing over there that's not about corruption. But in the United States, you would have never thought what the money laundering capital in the United States would be. but it's New Hampshire, isn't it, Mike Gill?
Yes, it's New Hampshire, and it's in partnership with the Ukraine. What people have to understand, the money laundering is a process of disconnecting or tracking of the money. So that's why what's corrupt in this country and other countries, we become a partnership of that transfer of money and assets, which is all owned corruptly by corrupt politicians, drug cartels, human traffickers, child traffickers. How I would propose everything that I do with absolute evidence. I don't speculate. I don't create a hypothesis. I am the witness to this. I was eyeball to eyeball with drug cartels. So what I tell you is proof and evidence, and I've shown that, proved that. What's happening now for people to understand, just to set this up and have you understand the importance, and then more importantly, to connect the dots for yourself. First, I want to tell you, if you believe in corruption, if you believe these things as drug cartels and trafficking, then what you also have to believe in an equal size and balance is money laundering and the hiding of those assets, because it's what they can't show you. These politicians, as hard as they try not to show you how much money that they're stealing corruptly, or these cartels being some of the wealthiest, American cartels, by the way, not Mexican cartels, and that doesn't mean there is a Mexican cartel, but the largest cartels in the world are American cartels.
Did we call it the Democratic Party?
Well, they're both sides. Something?
The Democrats such as Biden and Clinton and Obama lead the pack, but do not forget the Republicans are in this too.
Oh, I know, like for sure.
Sununu and Romney. And so these people, don't dismiss the Republicans here. This is more of a business and an industry than about politics. They use politics to divide us, as they do race and religion. Now, think about this. Now, you ready? This is what's important. And I want people, maybe for the first time, to understand what they're seeing and they're witnessing. Because we're witnessing history, believe it or not, right here and now. When you see, now think about this. I'm going to say it's in parallel. And I want you to think of it this way. The closer they get, they've indicted Trump. They're prosecuting Trump with the intent of eliminating Trump from being president of the United States to the point of putting him in jail. Now, we know and we're seeing that. And we're also seeing his allies, such Marjorie Taylor Greene, going after the LLCs and saying the cover-up of the Treasury. We're seeing the IRS whistleblowers getting snatched up by the DOJ and U.S. Attorney Wise to stop them from testifying. And what they would testify to is that the IRS is part of this laundering network. You can't steal trillions without having the IRS involved. Okay, well, what we're seeing now, right, on that, is an escalation. The big lie is that they want you to think that they just figured this thing out with Biden. And all these recordings and evidence is just showing up now. Didn't show up. They've had. What did show up was an arms race. As they're going after Trump, Trump and his allies are going after the deep state. We are seeing a war here, an arms race, which is why Trump has been in New Hampshire frequently, just like the other day. And you know what he says? New Hampshire is up to the gills in corruption. We're going to show you the secrets of the Pandora's box. And then he ever mentioned Lois Lerner, who was just for me. Lois Lerner was part of the IRS with Gene Shaheen that targeted me in 2013 and wanted to give me a $50 million settlement for my silence. So here's the point. See, Trump's getting closer, but he's also sending a message to the deep state. He knows the laundry. Now, what we've learned when we talk about the Pandora Papers is this. The Pandora Papers was the tracking of cartel, the elite, corrupt politicians, even around the world, into the state of New Hampshire at the tune of $935 billion. Now, this is an important factor. And the factor is, they track the money. Where they track their money to? Well, that's the Gill Papers. I discovered the laundering network in New Hampshire as only the largest volume brokerage firm in the country. Wouldn't it make sense that if that was the operation in the state that was my home base, that I wouldn't have seen that? See what I'm saying to you each two? It always makes sense. When it doesn't, you're looking in the wrong direction. It makes sense that I would be that guy. Well, I happened to be that guy. And as you were talking, a moment where you have to make a decision. My decision was to go public, knowing in all likelihood they were going to murder me. And listen, they tried three times in 13 days. The DOJ and the FBI have that information. So does the Attorney General of the United States. And that's all in writing. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to guess. It's in writing. Two of the attempts were on security video. So that money laundering network that I discovered that involved the IRS, the banking department, the banking commissioner, the Department of Revenue, more importantly, everything that audits. You see how this thing works? The FBI would have to arrest themselves. The DEA are partners with the cartel. Well, all our auditing entities on a state and federal level, in particularly in the state of New Hampshire, are working and involved in the money laundering network of the largest in the world, not just the country. Now, when they talk $935 billion, they're not even talking to the trillions that are done domestically. Our own American cartels, our own corrupt politicians. That's the size of this. And consider the military budget $700 billion. That means this is larger on the surface even than that. $118 billion to the Ukraine, which is mean this is eight times the size of that. And the truth is it's more like 20 and 30 times, which is the dark money that's running through our banking system, which is why the fear of collapse. That dark money gets pulled out, you're going to have bank failures such as Silicon Valley Bank, and for the exact reason of the cartel pulling their money out, directly connected to the state of New Hampshire, a New Hampshire corporation connected and named in the Pandora paper. See, it is all connected.
Well, how did you just come across all of this, okay, to begin with?
I can barely hear you.
Okay.
You turned your thing down.
That's all right. Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Much better, much better.
Okay, yeah. All right, there you go. How did you start to come across all this? Okay, now you were...
I was in banking, right? So I ran the largest operation in the country. And what I did was, it was first a group of elderly people came to me. There was 402 victims of a Ponzi scheme called Financial Resource Management. It was a Ponzi scheme. And it was like 07 and then 08 that they came to me. What I found out was the banking commissioner was involved with it. The head of the Ponzi scheme was Bill Shaheen. Bill Shaheen was the architect of this laundering network.
Is that the husband of that senator?
Bill is the husband to Senator Gene Shaheen. He is also the co-chair for Hillary Clinton's campaign. He is the most trusted ally of the Biden, of the Clintons, of the Bidens, which is why Biden's money is in New Hampshire. When you're going to commit that kind of theft and crime, and you've got to hide your money at the most protected laundering network in the world, you're going to make sure your most trusted allies has the combination to the vault, and that is Bill Shaheen.
Well, now you've had
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Joe Biden has come out several times lately now, and he's yelled at reporters saying, "Where's the money? Where's the money?" You know, so.
And you know what Trump's doing? Trump's going to New Hampshire and is going, "Hey, Joe, it's right over here. I know." Okay? So he's telling Biden that. And Biden knows that he is. That's why this is a war of arms. This is, and you know what the threat is in the arms is? Now think about this. When you live in the land of the corrupt, you know what the currency is? Blackmail and extortion. That is what Epstein and Maxwell was. And speaking of Maxwell, well, do you know where she got arrested? Now, this woman could have gone to anywhere in the world after they killed Epstein. This woman had money, connections. She went to the state of New Hampshire. Why? Because she knew where their money laundering network is. Who is she? A blackmailer. What better way to blackmail them with their own money? She went there as a sanctuary. You know what happened? The Boston FBI snatched her up, the same protection network that protects them. You know who was her lawyer? Well, guess what? The same Bill Shaheen. The same Bill Shaheen on that $50 million settlement, along with the IRS and banking. Bill Shaheen wanted to pay me $50 million as the architect of this laundering network. And then you know what they do? They snatch her up and nobody hears a word from her. They just settled with $290 million to the victim out of Chase Manhattan Bank, right? Silence money. See, in time, they all take the money, except for me so far. And they've got to kill me. But the point being is, that's the secret. That's where we're going. And you are the threat. The American people are what they're blackmailing with, what they're threatening with. You, the American people, finally knowing the truth. Because once you find their money, you find the roadmap to all the politicians are corrupt. All the drug cartels and the human traffickers would have the same entities. The one thing that they can't see, and that's where you're headed, the one thing that they can't answer, "Hey, Joe, where'd you get the $2 billion? There it is. We're not talking 8 million. We're talking in the billions. That's what they sold. They sold their office and they sold protection. And not just the cartels, but to the pharmaceutical industry, the healthcare industry, the insurance industry, all the industries that pay for media.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because I know that the Biden crime family, they don't do anything without making a buck off it. They've got to, you know, you've got all of the evidence, all of the phone recordings and everything. Now, people are saying that they gave the Taliban $85 billion worth of American equipment. They would not give the Taliban. There had to be a deal made prior to this to do what he did, and there had to be a deal made that a certain amount of that would be funneled right back to the Biden crime family, and not just the Biden crime family, because there was so much that others would have a part of that to keep their mouth shut. Let me ask you this. What kind of a payoff do you think they got from that? And John McTernan, you can comment on that too.
Okay, Pastor.
Go ahead.
All I'm telling you is what we know is, you know, let's do this mathematically. We know that they're corrupt. I have the Biden, for instance, was picked because he could be controlled. The FBI didn't know that he and his family have been taking money for 40 years. And the thing with Hunter, you know what that's called? It's a conduit. It's plausible deniability. There's going to come a time where Joe goes, "Hey, you know what? I'm shocked and chagrined." Listen, Hunter Biden has nothing to sell. But you know who knows how corrupt our government is and these agencies and our politicians? Our enemies. Our enemies always know us the best. They turn around and able to blackmail us from China, from Ukraine, to the Middle East, They know we're corrupt, and we are compromised as a nation of our corruption.
Let me ask you this, because look, we're seeing Merrick Garland lying under oath. We're seeing Chris Wray. These guys, they're risking, they're putting a lot on the line. They're risking a lot. They're risking going to prison to protect the Biden crime cartel. Now, my question to you is,
it's not just the Biden crime cartel. Biden's money takes you to all of their money, including the FBI. Biden takes you to the laundering. Biden's not laundering his money alone. It takes you from everything that's stealed, every single corrupt politician. So Biden is a domino that they can't. And when you said, ready? Garland's risking. Here's the thing. Ready?
Yeah.
He's risking because it means that he's protecting something greater. That's when you take that kind of risk. And trust me, something greater is not just Biden. It is the network of corruption. It leads to the money laundering network of Congress and the Senate and the intelligence agency. It is a domino to them all. So when they lie, remember, they're trading up. They're trading up. They're protecting something more. When I caught the IRS, the Treasury covered it up. When I turn around and caught the Treasury, the DOJ covered that up. They kept trading upward. So know that this, you're going to hit the Democrats. I believe what you're going to see, they're going to want Biden to get out. They're going to want to call it a medical or something because they don't want you to ask the next question. They don't want you turning the page. Ready? Where'd you put the money, Joe? How'd you clean it?
There's all right, let me ask you this.
Go to the IRS whistleblowers?
Yeah.
Go to the IRS. Here's the next question. If they're stealing billions, trillions, where were you? See?
All right, let me ask you this question because I've noticed something, and John, you can answer too. I've noticed that a little bit by little bit, the so-called mainstream media are now asking Biden questions. Now,
there you go.
It looks like they're starting to turn on him. Are they getting ready to throw him under the bus? Are they?
You're absolutely right. There it is. You know the message is? The message is Biden's not taking us down with him. If his ship sinks, it looks like it's going to sink, he's sinking alone. They're starting to turn around and start saying, well, geez, that's, you know, we heard this tape. You know, we heard the fact that the big guys, they knew all along who Biden was. This is always lying to the public. It's called contagion, okay? I've caught many U.S. attorneys, boom, resign. Heads of law firm, bottom, resign. They cut you away from the hoax. They cut you away from what they fear the most, and that is their laundry, because that gets everybody. The closer Trump gets to that and gets to New Hampshire, he's sending a message to Sununu, who now has the keys of the laundry, leveraged and threatened to get them from Shaheen with the help of James O'Keefe. That's right, a Project Veritas, who worked for me for a year with multiple operatives and used my evidence to leverage Shaheen and Sununu to take the keys. That's why if you notice Sununu goes out and says, I'm not running for president. Well, later he said he's not running for governor. But you know what else he said right after the presidency? He said, I need to spend my time on focusing going after Trump. You know why he's got to go after Trump? Because Trump knows he's got the keys to the vault. You know how Trump knows? Because I told him and I gave him the evidence, which is why Flynn came to me after the election, that I can prove in text messages and emails, even though he didn't want to tell you, but I did. And now they all got a problem.
Well, let me ask
you
this, too.
The bottom line here, that's what's going on. That's what I'm telling you about contagion. They're prepared to cut Biden loose.
All right, let me ask you one question, and then John McTernan, I want you to comment on this, too.
Okay,
let me ask you this. Do you think Chris Christie's a big part of that, too.
That's my question, Pastor Ernie. Go ahead. That's what I was going to ask him. But go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
What I would tell you. You ready?
Ready.
They all know. If they're not telling you the truth, they're not telling you where the money laundering is. They're not telling you how all these politicians in Washington use these conduits to turn around and sell protection to cartels and so forth. That means they're all lying. I'm going to tell you to tell the truth. When I ran for governor, I told you what they were doing. And they tried to murder me 3 times in 13 days. So if they're not trying to kill you, they're not telling you the truth. Or you're not trying hard enough. All I'm telling you is don't trust any of them unless they tell you the truth. And with all these politicians finding this on Hunter Biden, how about this? They're mentioning the LLCs. Now think about this. Marjorie Taylor Greene saying LLCs, Treasury. Now let's consider this. As of October of 2021, the Pandora Papers went into Congress in the Ways and Means Committee. They know that they're sitting on $1 trillion of theft and corruption, and they haven't told you a word. And yet, at the same time, the largest cartel in this country, run by Dick Aganoff, is selling auto fare, selling the Silicon Valley Bank, Grand State Recovery. They're moving and they're selling assets because they're being tipped off. So, in other words, they're playing a game now. Ready? You know what the game is? Management. They're not fighting to tell the American people. They're fighting at the seat at the head of the table. That's what it is. They're all lying.
Go ahead, John.
My question is, Ernie, how does these huge corporations like BlackRock fit into this? Do they wash a lot of money through BlackRock?
Well, think about this. What they do is it is based on corruption. BlackRock was the principal owner of Dominion. Dominion sues Fox, where one of the principal owners is BlackRock. So they literally sued themselves. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And it's all
yes.
So in other words, that's part of the corruption. Think about this. You know what BlackRock's doing in that? And the same thing with the pharmaceutical board people sitting on the boards of the media. The operative word is control. How does the few control the many?
Well, let me ask you this then, because there's something.
Cut communications, which they did through social media with the FBI, which they did with the ownership of mainstream media, and they used those as tools of division. But they all know. Those pharmaceutical industry own 3/4 of Congress. They've all taken their money. You don't take their money and not dance to their music.
All right. Amen. What's the purpose? What's the purpose then, Mike, of where you have Walmart, you have Target, you have Anheuser-Busch doing things that they know is going to cost them billions of dollars? They know. I mean, this whole going woke thing, when Coke went woke, they lost a ton of money, and the sales of Coke dried up when they started telling people that we needed to be less white. White people needed to be less white. Anheuser-Busch, when they did the Bud Light with their drag queen, that ended up costing them close to $30 billion now. But they do these things. Target lost, I don't know, what is it now, $15 billion, something like that in that area. When you had Bed Bath & Beyond, they went out of business. Yet these other companies continue to go woke. Why are they doing this to themselves?
Being pressured under the ESG system.
Think about this now, ready?
Mm-hmm.
With this corruption, it's the largest industry in this country. They always operate with a plan. A short-term, but a long-term plan. They're moving a battleship. I can move instinctually and quickly and try to get ahead of them, try to expose them. But they move slowly. Now think of this. If their means and their action comes to a control, like digital currency, things like that, they need you to be accepting. They need you to be weak. They're indoctrinating you in schools, in work, in compliance, such as COVID and the mask and the vaccines. They are in an exercise of control and a controlled society. They are moving you at a piece at a time. And these industries, now think about this. You mentioned Walmart. Well, how about this? Walmart, CVS, Walgreens. Do you know they were all part responsible for this opiate epidemic? For the last 20 years, they were front and center selling it over the counter. You know what they all did quietly in the last year? They all settled with the government for pennies on the dollar. And that's out. And you know what happened? The same politicians that are owned by these cartels opened our borders. You know why they opened our borders? Because where you live in the world of synthetic opioids, fentanyl, which is made in this country, American cartel, they opened our door to their previous partnership with the Mexican cartel and the human traffickers, and they poured across our border. They went into our cities across America, and they are the new street distribution of fentanyl. What these Walmart were, and Walgreens and CVS were, are now the Mexican cartels across each and every one of our cities, which is crimes exploding because these people who are addicts aren't working. They're stealing and they're robbing. And you know something? That's also part of the plan, is to degenerate our society, create a woke society of acceptance. Because at that point, once you turn around and have a society that's fractured, and an economy that's fractured, they come in and daddy turns around and says, I'm going to make it all better. You're just going to have to obey control.
Yeah, that's the idea. That's what Klaus Schwab has been saying, that you'll own nothing and you'll control nothing, but you'll be happy. You'll be glad that you did. Now, you're right, I think he should set the example about being controlled.
And you got a guy like Bill Gates buying farmland across the country. Can you re-education camp? Can you turn around and say, Bill Gates opens the door and says, you know what, farmland, you can work on the farmland, you can live on the thing. All you're going to do is be re-educated. I mean, this isn't anything new.
They control the food supply, too. All right, hang tight. We're coming up to a break. So when we'll be back from this break, we got a lot more. Don't go away. More to come. Be right back.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.